This episode is brought to you by AARP. 16 years from today, Greg Gerstner will finally land the perfect cannonball. Epic splash. Unsuspecting friends. A work of art only possible because Greg is already meeting all these same people at AARP volunteer and community events that keep him active and involved and help make sure his happiness lives as long as he does. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/local.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Lay. Sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2023 Arnold Palmer Invitational to get you ready for your DraftKings lineups this week. You can find myself on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Another fun week of PGA Tour action in the books, I see. Any thoughts on the Honda Classic, the last installment of the Honda Classic?
No, me and you were texting this week, and I played one lineup. Actually, listened to myself as far as not playing much money. Played one lineup, not much money. It was dead by Thursday afternoon, so I moved on pretty quickly and did not pay a whole hell of a lot of attention. Did watch the final hole, which was pretty fun in the playoff, but other than that, I mean, I don't have much takes. Good for Chris Kirk, man. It's pretty cool to see somebody like him, who what he's been through as far as whether it's self-inflicted or not, overcome some stuff and get the W. And then Eric Cole, hell of a story.
Yep. Eric Cole, hell of a story. He had three Monday qualifiers. You had Gerard and a couple others. I think finished T10, T15 or something. Like,
Gerard was fourth.
He finished fourth. I mean, like, all three of the qualifiers got through. Two of them, I believe, are going to play in Puerto Rico this weekend with Gerard. Cole is in the Arnold Palmer Invitational. He got boosted there. They showed Cole's been playing like the mini tours and minor league golf tours and stuff. He won one like last year and got maybe $1,500 for it. He got $915,000 for this one. It's just, and he finished 15th at Pebble too. Like, it's the dude's legit. If you guys have watched any golf, you obviously know he comes from a golfing family, his father and his mother and all that stuff. So that's well known, but even Freddie Couples had some nice things to say. He used to play with his dad, I guess. And it was pretty, pretty cool to see Cole out there getting his stuff done. He's they had the diabetes story with him and everything. He's got a lot going on. We saw Justin
Addison's disease.
Too. Addison's disease, yeah.
Which I don't really know much about that, but apparently it's not good.
No, very, very severe form of diabetes, I guess. And they got him at like 110 pounds in college. The dude looks like he's 110 soaking wet still to me.
Yeah, big dude. So, he was pounding it, dude. Fucking, it's just murder.
It's like JT and those guys. It's all about, you know, torque and doing what you're doing. You don't have to be a big boy to pound the rock. And it was fun to see Cole. Justin Suh had it going for him, and he kind of fell apart over the weekend, but good to see him up there. A lot of young guys. It was really – or not all young. Like, I say young, and to me, Cole's 34 is not young to me.
He's young. He's still young because he's brand new to us.
Yeah. They kept saying young. They said 34. I'm like, that ain't freaking young. But okay, whatever you say. But it was just cool to see a bunch of these guys, even like, you know, like Chesson Hadley. He didn't watch it. Never mind. He did the mic'd up on 14 on Saturday. That was fun to see. Really good personality and everything. He played pretty well. Benny On making another run. Shane Lowry is pretty much the only expensive guy that did anything this week.
What happened on Saturday where there was a 62 and a 63 and a 64, another 64? I mean, like, my guys didn't play that golf course on Friday, excuse me. My guys did not play that golf course on Friday. Whatever golf course these other guys were playing, my guys were playing like the hard version of the Honda Classic. These guys were playing the American Express version of the Honda Classic.
Did you happen to have PM players on Friday? Because there was a wave advantage.
So they were like most of, I think 5 out of 6 were PM AM. So they would have played in the morning.
Oh, so then, yeah, they put a different golf course. because yeah, Friday, it was well documented. The morning boys had a major upper hand on things. It was just the wind, I guess, and just overall conditions. But it was it's Florida golf. You never know when the wind's going to come up. It came up.
Right.
It made its factor known. And that's why guys went nuts. And then you saw Lowry on Saturday go crazy with the best round of the day.
Right.
He went out early. It seemed like a trend. The early golfers had a little bit of an upper hand throughout the weekend. So we'll see. Something to think about going forward. It's not like you can predict it over the weekend, but
there is going to be a wave advantage this week though, probably.
Oh, I haven't even looked at the weather. So thank you. We're going to get into that. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a fun filled field here at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, around 130 ish golfers, give or take, depending on the final invite numbers and who actually continues.
120, to play. I think, is the number.
Down to 120. There we go. Thank you, sir. I saw 43 of the top 50 in the world will be playing this week. So that's a big, as you expect, invitationals. Plus, it's an elevated field event. So big, big money coming to the winners here. Plus, you get an awesome red cardigan sweater. Just amazing. one of the better trophies in golf, one would say, outside of a green jacket. So you got that going for you, too. It'll be fun, but let's get into some past event history, which we have plenty of because it is one of the most course history relevant courses on tour.
Yeah, last year, Scottie Scheffler was the winner 5 under, 1 shot over Hatton, Horschel, and Hovland. 2021 was Bryson DeChambeau, 11 under, 1 shot over Lee Westwood. Tyrell Hatton was the 2020 winner, 4 under, 1 shot over Leishman. Molinari was 2019 winner, 12 under, 2 shots over Fitzpatrick. Rory won this tournament in 2018, 18 under, 3 shots over Bryson, aka Bryson, and Mark Leishman, not in the field. Jason Day won this in 2016, 17 under, 1 shot over Chapel. Tiger Woods has won this 8 times, but he's not in the field. And that's pretty much it as far as guys that are relevant here.
Yeah, Rory loves this place. This is the course where Bryson decided to take on the lake and try to drive the green on the par fours.
Yes.
That was the year he won. That was some fun
stuff. Par five. It's a par five.
My bad. Par five. Yeah. So it was like almost a guaranteed eagle for him at times, the way he was playing in that tournament. This is also the place where Jason Day withdrew and went to Walt Disney World, I believe, with his family because he had back problems. I'll never forget that one because he was a heavy chalk player. I was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
And there's pictures of him at Walt Disney World. So that was fun.
Riding Space Mountain.
Yep. So this is a great, great tournament. I enjoy it.
It's a great golf course.
We talk about there we go. Great golf course. Arnold Palmer Invitational. And it's a beauty. It's a Bay Hill Country Club that most should know because it's Arnie's place. And it is a par 72. Where did my notes go? I'm going to almost 7,500 yards. I'll tell you that much right out the gate. And you have nine holes with water in play. There's over 80 bunkers in play. Some of those penal rough you're going to find 3+ inches, depending on how they let it grow out. Of course, we're on Bermuda, as you would come to expect on this side of the Florida swing here. The biggest thing about this course is all the par threes are over 200 yards. So you have to really pipe it. You have most of the majority of the par fours are over 450, very long. So you need to take advantage of the par fives for sure and just avoid bogeys, as the winning scores, as Jesse mentioned, are very key. You also want to be in the fairway because the rough is so penal. Like if you watch the Honda Classic, very challenging golf course, but they had a couple cuts of rough where you weren't in like massive trouble unless you really got in the thick of it, where it's just thick at API at Bay Hill. So A lot of guys will take less than driver to make sure they find the fairway, which leads to longer approach shots. Most of them are 150 plus, a lot of them over 200 plus. So long iron play comes into play here as well. Some of the biggest greens on tour also. So just because your guy hits the green doesn't mean he's got an easy chance to make things happen. You want to make sure you can lag it up there in two putt as well. So bogey avoidance is key. Finding fairways is key. You can drive it far. Bryson proved that, but you better be darn accurate at the same time in doing so. That's why when you hear a bunch of the winners here, it's all different types of golfers. You have some guys that can hit it short, guys hit it long, good long iron players usually fare well. Could be a more Akaba week. We'll see. Stuff along those lines, but it's going to be a fun golf course. Going to be it's also, I read, I think it was last year or the year before, the most or second most penalty shots in golf came at this golf course. So keep that in mind. There's less water than last week at Honda, but it comes into play a lot more often, it sounds like. So keep that in mind too. What kind of stats are you looking at this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit on a lot of it. I think birdie or better is important. Scrambling matters around here too. It depends on a lot how the weather plays out as far as some of the stuff you're going to want to focus on. Like obviously last year, 5-under is the winner, but the year before that, 11-under wins and 19-under has won this in the past. I anticipate it playing a lot very hard, more major-esque than years past. There's no rain in the forecast, but there is a lot of wind, particularly on Friday, and I think in like toward the afternoon. So there may be a distinct wind wave advantage this week. And that wind stays up mostly through Saturday and then kind of dies off on Sunday. But, you know, I just think it's going to be difficult. So I would, to me, I would kind of vision it as like a major, the Masters or US Open type of, you want to get it in the fairway and hit as many greens as possible.
So a little PM AM wave potentially that could
potentially be. Could have an advantage. I mean, you're really going to have to like look at this further in, you know, on Wednesday. So I would just definitely be, you know, mindful of the wind potential on Friday.
All righty, let's get into the DK picks of the week. And again, loaded field, course history, huge here, as we mentioned. Let's talk 10K and above. Rahm at 11-5 in this field. That just doesn't sound wrong. Scheffler at 10-9 and Rory at 10-6. It's crazy, but it's doable. What do you like up here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Rahm, Rory, you can, or Scheffler, pick your poison. I just feel like most people don't play Scotty, and he's just still not getting the kind of, I guess, respect that he should get in the DFS space. And part of that is obviously because you can't play them all. You can't play all three. But my pick is just going to be Scheffler up top here, defending champion. He's playing well enough to win again, so I'll go with Scheffler.
Yeah, defending champion, T12 with the Genesis, still very respectable score at that tournament. Rahm, first, third, seventh, first, his last four events, we know it just goes insane. on and on. Yeah. Just even just over his last five events, he's gained 56 strokes gained tee to green. It's ridiculous. It is. Scheffler, then you got Rory, who 29th and 32nd his last two. Is he stumbling? It wouldn't shock you if he won, though, because he loves this place. 13th, 10th, 5th, 6th, 1st. His last 5 years here. So, yeah, you can't go wrong with any of them. I love your strategy behind Scheffler. Don't disagree with it at all. Like, take the lowest owned in this range. But all very, very much in play. Could be a week to skip the top 10 because you got so many great players. The 10K range, I mean. But, yeah, I'll go with you on Scotty on this one just to play, you know, the leverage game potentially. The only thing that kind of stands out on this is if you look at proximity over 200 yards, he's 100th in this field, which is kind of surprising from Scheffler. So, and from 175 to 200, he's 94th. So his longer iron play has been a bit suspect of late. Remember, he did dominate at Phoenix, which is not a long iron course. So a little something to think about, but he's also first in bogey avoidance. So take that with a grain of salt too. He can at least scramble his butt off and get there for you. So we'll see. But I'm with you on Scotty. 9K range, you got Homba at 97, JT at 96, Morikawa 95, Willie Z 94, Finau 93, Xander 92, Cantlay 91, and Big Vic at 9,000. What do you got here?
I mean, Homa, obviously. It's a pro Homa pod, which I feel like everybody anymore is pro Homa. I don't know anybody who doesn't like him. But in his last three events, second, 39th, first, if you go back to the tournament champions, he finished third there. And at this course, at this event, he's made the cut three times, 17th, 10th, 24th. I feel like it might be, I feel like Zalatoris might be there come Sunday. I mean, you expect a similar type of deal with the Genesis Open where the leaderboard is stacked come Sunday. But I think this is a more of a Will Zalatoris type of place, especially if it plays hard, the wind kicks up, and basically par is a good score. I really like Will Zalatoris. He's played here twice, finished 38th and 10th, and is coming off a fourth place finish at the Genesis after a little bit of an injury bug there. And at 9,200, Xander finished 24th here in 2020, which is his only start. But when you think ball start striking, you think Xander and Colin. I'm just going to go with Xander in this situation. And then Hovland, obviously the course history is there, finished second here last year. 4 for 4 made cuts. Second is by far his best finish, and coming off a 20th place finish at the Genesis. So, you know, again, I don't think you can go wrong with anybody in this range, but I'm not going to pick them all. So that's where I'm going to be focusing on for lineup construction.
Yep, we're in the same spot here. I got Homa 100%. Pretty much we'll have him every week, as you mentioned. I got Willie Z. He's 11th in my model. Just like you said, striping it well. That finish of the Genesis made me feel a lot better about his back situation, so that's very good. Love Hovland at 9,000, 13th in my model. You mentioned his course history here is great. 20th, 42nd, 13th, his last three PGA Tour events. The other guy I will mention, though, is Colin Morikawa. He's 5th in my model. He's 4th in approach, 5th in par 5 scoring, 7th in 200+, 5th in 175 to 200, 8th in 150 to 175, and 2nd in good drives. All the things you're kind of looking for in this field. We look at past event history. He finished 9th here in 2020, and in his debut in 18, finished 64th. And you mentioned that recent finish as well. 6th at the Genesis, miscut at Phoenix, 3rd at the Farmers. So in two of the tougher tracks, he's played very, very well. And he always seems to hang around with that iron play. So it's all about the short game for him. If he can scramble, that's where his bugaboo is. And if he can figure that out, I think Morikawa is a very, very intriguing play here. So at $9,500, I like him as well compared with the other guys you mentioned. 8K, Sungjae at 89, Fitzpatrick, Young, Jordan Spieth, Jason Day's at 85, Tom Kim at 84, Hatton 83, Matsuyama 82, Burns 81, Mitchell 8,000. I know it's like a major field, so some guys are going to be priced a little wrong. There's a few of them here, it feels like.
Yeah. I feel like the pricing is pretty good this week. There's, you know, could have been some differences, and I wish they would kind of go back to the old pricing where they had guys below 6,000 as well, you know, way back in the day, just to make things different and more interesting. But Sungjae up top, 8,900, 4 for 4 made cuts here, has 2 third place finishes at this event. And he was 40% owned last week. We didn't even mention that.
Yeah.
40 fucking percent owned, finished 42nd.
Did you, I don't know if you noticed it because he blocked you. You see Billy Ho struggled again this week.
I'm going to talk about Billy Ho before too long. Yeah. Good. Cameron Young, 8,700, 13th here last year. Kind of flying a little bit under the radar again this year. Obviously had a great rookie campaign. And is starting to find a little bit more form. I feel like 20th at the Genesis there. Jason Day, course history is pretty good. He missed the cut in 2020, but besides that, he finished 31st, 22nd, 23rd, 1st, 17th, 45th since 2013. So it's pretty good. And 3 straight top 10s. How chalky is he going to be?
I'd imagine pretty, but you never know in a field like this. I know I love Jason Day this week, so we'll see.
I hope he's like 20% owned. And
I think nobody, it'll be in the 20s, I think.
Nobody plays Hatton. Because Hatton, so he won here in 2020, but he also hasn't missed a cut at all since 2017 at this event. Has a second place last year, fourth place in 2017. It just fits him. And if had a really strong showing at the Phoenix Open, finished 6th. 40th at the Genesis, and people generally don't play him. And last but not least, Keith Mitchell, 4-4 made cuts here. There's a lot of good course history in this range, yep. Man.
Big time.
Coming off 5th place at the Genesis, 4th at the AT&T Pebble Beach a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, yeah, there's quite a lot to like in this 8K range, and good course history mixed in with good form should make it very interesting. Maybe spread some of that ownership out a little bit.
Yep, could spread it out, could make for a nice balanced build. I love Sungjae again on these Florida courses. I know he struggled a bit last week, as you mentioned, finishing 42nd. But
you would too if you were 40% owned.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll go back to that with this form 20, 21st, third at this tournament. I like him. The one of them you did not mention, and it's because his current form is a little rough here. We're going to talk miscut, 29th miscut his last three events. But if you want to talk course history, 9th, 10th, 9th, 2nd his last 4 years. That's Matty Fitzpatrick, $800. Course history is amazing. I know he's got some injury issues, took last week off. Just keep an eye on reports if he's even close to being healthy. I love him at $8,800 at this joint, especially if it's windy. When have we seen Matt Fitzpatrick dominate courses and be in the running, like the Open Championship and things like that? Like
the U.S. Open that he won. Yeah,
the U.S. Open. He loves the wind and the tough courses. So I think he's very interesting if he's healthy. That's a big if, of course, but he's in play. I like Jason Day at 85, as you mentioned. Hatton at 83, I love as well. Hopefully comes in low owned. Had Killer Keith at 8,002. The one other guy I will mention, though, another guy coming in kind of sketch form, a miscut at the Genesis, 29th, 9th at Farmers, 20th at Phoenix, 9th at Farmers. Course history, though, 20th, 18th, 56th, 33rd, 40th. That's at least five straight cuts. And that's Hideki Matsuyama. That's a guy, when I think of longer iron play, Matsuyama is a guy I love to look at. He's been struggling with it, 106 in the field and 200 yards plus, but he's been great around the green. The other approach angles, he's been very, very good. Decent at bogey avoidance. I just think he's too cheap in this range. I know his current form isn't ideal, but he's a grinder, is not the right word, but he's one of those guys, he's going to do it 1 week and everyone's like, oh yeah, Hideki. Like, that's just what he is. That's my thought. And if they keep lowering his price, I'm going to keep playing him, and no one plays him. So he's super, super cheap in this range. Like, you could play Hatton, Hideki, and Fitz probably for all like sub 8% ownership or something and have a field this week. And have a lot of fun with that. So that's very, very intriguing to me as the week goes on. And some guys go, again, in the Discord goes, oh, you didn't play that guy this week? I'm like, well, I talked to you on Monday. I checked ownership on Wednesday. Things obviously change as the week goes on. So keep with us on that one. That's why I say come join us on the Discord anytime you want. Ask all the questions you want. I'm hanging around. 75 to 79, you got Lowry, Thigala, your boy, Billy Ho, Connors, Fowler, Kirk, Scott, Bradley, Rose, Clark, Kim, Hadwin, Fleetwood. Who do you like here?
I started to tilt really hard about Billy Horschel last week because I like to play Billy Horschel because nobody wants to play Billy Horschel ever. Mm-hmm. He's just not a popular play ever. Blocks people on Twitter. Finished second here last year and 42nd at the Honda Classic where he shot 65. I feel like that's enough flash there for me to go back and at much less ownership this week. I mean, he was 13% owned the Honda, but he was 2% owned at the Genesis at 7,200. So, you know, I would put him more in that 5 to 6 max range this week. So I like him. Thigala at 79, skipped over him. He'd missed the cut here last year, but is playing really, really good golf. Ricky Fowler never missed a cut here since 2015. And that was when that was like bad Ricky Fowler the last 2 years, finished 52nd and 72nd the last 2 years, but had an 18th place finish in 2020, 14th back in 2018, 12th in 2017. And it's, you know, it just feels like this price is way too low for him given how he's playing. I mean, three straight top 20s, hasn't missed a cut since the Wyndham way back in August. I think he's got it figured out. Adam Scott, another guy with good course history, he has missed a couple cuts here, but did finish 26th here last year. And just the dude that just makes cuts. I mean, he may finish 65th like he did the Genesis Invitational, but he made the cut. So especially for cash games. And then Tommy Fleetwood at 7,500, another guy who I feel like flashed a little bit of form at the Genesis. You know, he was at or under par all week there. So I like that quite a bit. Win guy, obviously, and his course history is good. 20th, 10th, miscut, 3rd, 26th, 10th. It's pretty solid for somebody at $7,500. So this field is absolutely loaded, and it kind of reflects down here when we get into the 8 and 7K range, but there's a lot to like.
One of the things that I'll mention is a lot of the good course history people are foreigners. They play very well here. the Euros and like even the Aussies and stuff very, very well, because when Aussies love the wind, so do foreigners. Like it's just a trend, and they're more precise golfers instead of bomber golfers. There's a difference there. So.
Like you Californians.
Yeah, we're different. We're different like that. So that's why we dominate the West Coast swing. But Billy Ho was mic'd up on Friday, by the way, on 14. They had him on the headset, and he was talking about how messed up his swing is right now, how in between he is. Oh, it was entertaining to like hear him, because he sits there on the tee box. They analyzed it. He practices two different types of swings to see what feels good before he tees off.
I'm going to retract everything I just said about Billy Ho.
It was wild watching him do it.
Watch him win now.
They're like, what's your thought process on this? I'll just stay out of the water.
How does he shoot 65 doing that?
I don't know. It was fun watching it, though, man, because he literally would hit a great shot, and the next shot would be like, boom, all the way to the right. Like, it was all over the place. It was interesting.
Yeah, never mind. I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm not playing Billy. I'm going to go ahead and uncheck.
Now he's going to have a great week.
Yeah, he's going to finish top five.
All right, for me in this range, you got Corey Connors at $7,800. Guy coming in with a decent course history, 11th and 3rd the last 2 years. He's 61st at Genesis, 50th at Phoenix. So his current form is not what we'd expect from Corey Connors, but really, really playing well here. Again, makes sense. Very good iron player. So if you can find the fairway, he's 17th in good drives in this field. That could play well for Corey Connors. And his caddy was heard talking today on Monday that this course fits him very well. So it's a course that Corey Connors likes at $7,800. I have Ricky checked off at 77. Kind of sucks Chris Kirk won this last week, because his course history, 5th, 8th, 15th, 13th, his last four times here. He's been great. I am not playing a chalky Chris Kirk. Not happening. $7,700 and coming off that dub. So that's an interest. Like, if he comes in low-owned, I'm interested, but not at this point in time. Keegan Bradley at $7,600, 11th, 10th, 42nd, 46th, 26th his last five times here. So he's another guy with amazing course history. Missed the cut at the Genesis, but 20th at Phoenix, 2nd at Farmers. He was coming in pretty good form. Wyndham Clark at 75th is 10th in my model. He's 1st in par 5 scoring, 5th in par 4, 450 to 500. A couple of things we really want to see at this event. And he's coming at 33rd at the Genesis, 10th at the Phoenix, 37th at Farmers, 50th at Amex. Those all stand out. Missed cut in 21, 68, and 20. So his course history is not great. Current form really good for Wyndham Clark. He'll be virtually unowned if you want to use him. And then I have Fleetwood at 75, who I like a lot as well. He's a guy that he's kind of like the Batsuyama of this range to me. Like, used to be priced up a lot more.
Yeah.
Obviously, he isn't playing the same golf he once was, but he's shown flashes of that even in his early Euro season, where he might be closer than we think. And this course should fit his type of game pretty, pretty well. 7K to $7,400. Who you liking here, Jesse?
Start right up top with Woodland. 5th here last year when he was not playing very good. Coming off a 9th place finish at the Genesis Invitational. I think maybe potentially he's starting to figure it out after a little bit of a struggle last year. Tom Hoge at 73. 3 or 4 made cuts here since 2018. Best finish is 15th in 2020. And come off a 14th place finish at the Genesis. Adrian Maronk, we talked about him last year. He's never played here, but the model likes him well enough, and he finished 14th last week. Bezenhout, man, I was pleasantly surprised after your nice little mention of him on the pod last week. He was kind of in the mix, but a Sunday 72 never, you know, really had a chance as far as to get inside the top 20, 25. Finished 42nd. But his course history is 3 out of 3 made cuts. Good. His worst finish is 20th last year. Finished 7th here in 2021. Course history is pretty amazing there. And then Sam Ryder at 7,000 took the week off last week. He's played here 3 times. 2 out of 3 made cuts. Best finish is 33rd in 2019. But Sam Ryder has three consecutive top 20s and a 4th place finish at the Farmers. So $7,000. I mean, that's the guy I'm clicking on if I'm down in this range.
Yeah, that's Sam Ryder, man. He keeps doing it. It's crazy. I love it. Pulling for him. For me in this range, I got Woodland at 74. Seamus Power at 74 is interesting to me. Missed cut here last year, so that obviously isn't good. But recent form, 14th to the Genesis, 20th to Phoenix, 15th to Pebble. We know he's a very streaky golfer, so he can be another nice lower-owned play. Nick Taylor at 73 coming in really good form as well. 32nd here last year, missed cut 56, so made 2 of his last 3 cuts. Not great, but coming in pretty darn good form for Nick Taylor standards. I had Tom Hoge as well. I always love Hoge on courses that require good approach games. He's fourth in this field from 200 plus, 18th from 175 to 200. He's 10th in the par threes, 200 to 225. He's first in the field in approach over the last 24 rounds. So very good layout for a guy like Tom Hoge. Love Maronk as well. We kind of talked about him last week. He's been playing really well on the Euro Tour. So he's a nice little value that I think are discounted at 72. If you want some course history down below here, I love Seabez at 71. You nailed that one with the course history. But a couple others down here that kind of stood out. Bo Hostler, 20th last year, 24th in 2020, 58th, 66, made four of his last four cuts at this place. Missed the cut at the Genesis, then 14th to Phoenix, 11th to Pebble. He's a course history potential play. And then Benny On at $7,000. He's coming back here. 43rd, 56th, 10th, 14th, his last four trips to the API. And he 21st at Honda, 37th at Pebble. He's made four straight cuts on tour, 62nd at Farmers. So at 7K, I think Benny On has a little bit of legs. And last but not least down here at 7,000, Harris English. He's made four straight cuts here, including a ninth place in 2020. And coming in with a miscut at the Honda, 12th at Genesis, miscut. So current form, up to you. Course history, pretty good for Harry. So take your poison there. You don't have to play him. There's a ton of guys in here. But I think he's another guy with some course history that stands out a bit. 6K, what do you like in this range?
I mean, why not play Eric Cole? 6,900.
Yeah. How chalky is he going to be?
I don't know. He's 6,000 in 6,000 range. So, I mean, most of these guys aren't going to get above 10%. I wouldn't worry about that too much. I didn't realize that Mayo was on him last week.
Mayo's gone a lot.
A hell of a fucking call. Cause to me, I don't think I talked about him last week, but it was never I would never have put money on him, and Mayo put real Canadian dollars on him. So it's pretty amazing. But his putter and his short game is just so hot.
He was making so many par saving putts, just looked so confident. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I really thought he was going to make that putt on in the playoff, and it of course lipped out. And that was probably my fault, cause I bet one of my friends that he was going to win versus Kirk. So solid mush by me there, but I mean, he's just getting the ball up and down from everywhere. So, you know, if he's comfortable on the greens last week, should kind of translate this week, and hopefully that keeps that hot putter going. Bramlett at 67, he was the first round leader, or at least a share of it, and ended up finishing 55th. Did not have a good Friday or Saturday round. But before that, 7th, 13th, and his two starts before that. So I would go back to him. And then Griot, 6,600. He's made four out of five cuts at this event. And his worst finish, when he does make the cut, is 26. He has a 7th place finish in 2017. I'm not usually a big Griot guy, but it could work potentially. I would rather have Bramlett or just not go in anywhere in this range, because that's all I have in this range. I can't click on anybody else hardly.
A couple guys I got looking at here is Taylor Pendrith, 42nd here last year. And he's coming in with the 42nd of Honda. He's made four straight cuts, 57th at Phoenix, 7th at Pebble. Where did he go? He's 37th in my model. I got Eric Cole. He's 38th in my model. Justin Suh just continues to make cuts. If you want to go there, he's first in good drives in this field. Eric Cole's third in bogey avoidance. So that's something to go with as well, as we talked about. Just make the cut, kid. I got Bramlett checked off. He's 11th in my model, 4th in par 3 scoring. And he's pretty good in everything in my model except putting. So that maybe that explains his problem last week. And then a couple others, if you want to look at, like Robbie Shelton rates out really well here. So does Ben Griffin. Not a lot of course history, though, when you talk about guys like that. If you want to go course history, Zach Johnson at $6,500. I know it's Zach Johnson. I know it's annoying, but he's made at least five straight cuts here, 42nd or 49th or better in those. And if you look at current form, 12th last week, 32nd in Phoenix, 41st in Amex, all courses he plays well at. Adam Schenck at 64, he's made four straight cuts, carrying a 42nd last week, 42nd here last year, 29th in 2019. And then it's probably all I want to do, but if you need one more cheaper play, Hoffman at $6,300, miscut the Honda, 14th at Phoenix, 48th at Pebble. It's more the course history for him. Didn't play here last year, but 10th, 13th, miscut 14th in his last four events here. So when he plays here, he plays pretty well. It's a different Chucky right now. I'll be 100% honest with you there. But at $6,300, if he can find a little bit of that form, that would be pretty, pretty nice if he can figure that out. But not too much. I'd like, you know, past maybe Adam Schenck at 64. Some of the guys in my model rate out well, but I just can't stomach some of these dudes at this point in time. All right, let's recap things. 10K and above. You still, Scotty?
I'm just going to say Scheffler.
I'll go with you on Scheff. 9K range.
Zalatoris.
I'm going to go Homa. I can't not go Homa, but I love most of these. All these Rangers love more than one. 8K.
Hatton.
I like that a lot. I'm going to go Fitzpatrick with the assumption he's healthy. That's what I'm going with right now. 75 to 79.
Ricky.
I think that's sneaky nice. I'll go Fleetwood. 7K to 74.
Woodland.
I will go with Cibes. Cibes at 71. And then your 6K play.
Bramlett.
I like the Bramlett a lot. I'll be that guy, and I'll say Eric Cole. Let's do it. If you're starting cash out this week, where would you start with three guys?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd get above 9,000.
But as balanced as possible.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about some of these guys with great course history and good form coming in. I think Ricky is borderline cash. Hatton, I would like quite a bit. And Sungjae.
Yeah, I'd go like Hatton, Day, Sungjae. That would be a starting point for me.
Yep.
If you're going GPP, though, it's a fun week in GPP because ownership should be spread out with all such great golfers for the most part. Where would you start your tournament place?
Yeah, Scotty Scheffler. And then like try to get in Victor Hovland, and then you kind of would go down, but put somebody like Tom Hoge in there.
I go Hovland, Fitzpatrick, Hatton. That's where I'd start out my GPP play, and that leaves you flexibility in your builds, which I like in a field like this. Balance, balance, balance. Like last week, I didn't see the optimal lineup. I usually see it. I guarantee you probably could have left about 7 or 8K on the bench last week to get the optimal, which is always fun stuff. Let's talk about some picks to win this week as John Rahm is 6.5 to 1 in a loaded field, which is just that. Was that better than his Amex odds? I feel like it was.
Yeah, I'd say that's lower. Yeah.
That's insane because Scheffler's 9 to 1, Rory's 9 to 1, and then it drops to like calling at 20 and so on. So what do you like him this week? Because there might be a little bit of value if you don't believe the big dogs win.
Yeah, I got one way to get John Rahm to 17 to 1 if you want to go this with a little parlay. Morehead State to win the Ohio Valley Conference tournament.
Is it Conference Valley Conference title weekend?
Yeah. It's starting. So this is like the mid-major start. This week, and then all the major tournaments are next weekend.
I love that time of year.
But the Ohio Valley, assuming that Morehead wins their first game Friday night, would finish Saturday. And so that's a decent parlay to get John Rahm to 17 to 1 if you want to do that. And of course, if you like Rory better or Scotty better, you get better odds. Zalatoris at 20, I think, is bettable. Jason Day at 28. Was he going to win in this field? I don't know. Necessarily that, but like a top five at plus 550, not terrible. Hatton at 35. After that, Keith Mitchell, maybe a top 20 at 9 to 1, or top five, sorry, at 9 to 1. Tommy Fleetwood, 12 to 1, top five. It's just hard for me to not see somebody below 30 to 1 winning this golf tournament. Just way too many good golfers.
Yeah, like the Genesis all written all over it again.
Right. I hope that's what it is, too, because that's much fun to watch.
It was amazing TV. And then they've shown even in years past when it was an elevated event, the cream rose to the top here. It's just that kind of a golf course. And one thing I'll say, we've said it before, with like the Rahm, Schefflers, and Rorys. If you like them so much, see if they'll struggle in round one and get a better number like Rahm did.
Yeah, you definitely can. Yeah.
Something like
or
that.
Or if they're going out late, so they're going out late on Thursday, that number may change if somebody gets hot and shoots 3 or 4 or 5 under in the morning. And then, of course, if they're going out late Thursday, then they're going to have the better draw potentially on Friday. So all things to consider as well.
Yep, for sure. A couple that I think is interesting is you mentioned Day. He's at 28 to 1. He's 8,500 on DK. Vic's 30 to 1 at 9K. So I always like looking at those kind of differences. I think Vic at 30 to 1 is interesting to me. Again, if Fitzpatrick is healthy, I love that 35. Love that 35. Same with Hatton. I like that 35, like you mentioned. We didn't talk about Tom Kim at all, but I think I'm going to take a breather on him for a little bit and just pull for him and root for him. Chris Kirk's up to 65, man. That is hilarious to me. I'm sorry.
His number from last week.
Yeah, that's insane. I think Fleetwood is interesting. I agree with you there. And then if you're talking like some longer, what is that? T10s, yeah. Some deeper shots. Whew, yeah, it's a little difficult. Like a Hoagie top 5 at 20-1 or even a top 10 at 8.5-1 is interesting. I could see him having some fun here, but I got Seabez at 25-1 to top 5 or 10-1 to top 10. He's shown that track, at least top 20. What is Seabez's top 20 since he's done it all 3 years? Let me check this out real quick. This might be the bet to make, and then watch him just completely miss the cut now. He's 4-1 top 20. That could be fun.
Yeah, it's not terrible odds, man.
No, not for top. I'm going to look at top 20s now because that's where you can get to the bottom of the field. Who do we got down here? Pendrith, maybe. Probably not. Bo Hosser at 5-1 to top 20. He's played very well here. Your boy Bramlett, 6-1. There's a little bit of legs there. Harris English is 7-1. If I do think he's going to figure it out for course history. So there's a few down here, but you know, honestly, Hatton at 1.5-1 is it's not great odds, but that's plus money. Max Homa's plus 105 to top 20. That seems pretty sweet to me, honestly. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Should be fun. Looking forward. I love these elevated events, man. It's great. It's
a great week.
There is Puerto Rico going on. The pricing is not out yet. If you have questions, I always throw one in for fun. The tournaments suck. It'd be nice if they put real tournaments out because they'd fill. I guarantee you they'd fill.
Yeah.
But they don't. So any final thoughts on the week? We have API this week.
I don't. Just keep an eye on the weather. Wind in particular.
Yep. Should be a wild one. If you want the Discord, just let me know. I'll get you up in there. Fun stuff as always over there. But until next time, check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm at BD Entrick, and this was your 2023 Arnold Palmer Invitational Preview. Catch you all next time.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.